when I first started out, I would be upset that I couldn't create letters the way other people did, but it's because I was rushing through everything. I wasn't understanding the reason why things were done the way they're done. And I think that's a lot of what I say in my book is just be mindful and be patient. And it's really hard because you just want to make something awesome.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinna.
Well, I am excited to have Joanna Munoz on the Passion Behind the Art Show. Just an incredible lettering artist, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say. Joanna, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yes. So let's jump right into it. How did your journey, your creative journey start?
So I've always been drawing ever since I was a kid. My grandfather was a doctor, but he was also an artist in his spare time. So I grew up just doodling and drawing whenever I had a chance. And then in college, right before college, I decided I wanted to be a Disney animator. I lived in Florida, so Orlando was really close. I figured that's where people went to go learn how to draw cartoons for Disney. And then I got into college and realized I didn't want to do that. So it was 2000 when I went into college. So computers were just coming up.
Right.
And I thought, okay, computers are probably not going to go away. So maybe I should do something information science or computer science. I started doing that, looked at the syllabus. It was all math. I'm good at math. I don't love math that much. So in my junior year, I was really struggling with wanting to keep going, and I passed a friend who I'd known for a while since like high school, and he had this huge art portfolio case with him, and I asked him what he was doing because he was also in my major, and he said I dropped computer science or information science and I switched to graphic design. And that was the first time I had heard of it. It was 2003 at this point. And I like ran to the office. I switched my majors without like telling my parents. I was on scholarships. So I'm like, I don't need their permission. I got my own scholarship. And so I switched majors without telling them. I had no idea what kind of job you can get with graphic design. I just knew that he could draw all day and I wanted to draw all day. So I did that, took all the art classes, thought I wanted to be a kid's book illustrator. That didn't pan out. Didn't want anything to do with computers. I just didn't think it was for me. And every job I've had since graduating has been in graphic design for the web. So whether it's building websites or right now I'm an art director at a small production agency in Venice, and we do social media and a lot of websites for big production studios. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing design my whole life. I'd never meant to get into like digital design. And then in 2014, when I got engaged, I was like, oh, I'm an artist. I can do everything for a wedding. And so I started learning calligraphy. And then from calligraphy, I got into lettering. And so here I am, a happy little accident.
You know, what's funny to me, after all the people that I've interviewed, it's like almost everyone never heard of graphic design until when it was almost time to go to college or at college. That's just so weird to me.
I remember taking art classes in high school, but it was pottery and it was painting.
Right.
A lot. Yeah. They never taught us that you could have a career in the arts, which is a bummer, but I'm glad I figured that out like right before I graduated. So
it's just weird though.
Yeah. What's funny is the night of my graduation, like my parents supported me, they still do. But the night of my graduation, we had a big dinner and a party, and my mom, you know, says congratulations and says, you know, nursing school is only 2 years in case you change your mind. I'm like, Mom, no.
So, oh, that is funny.
Suck it out. Doing okay.
Oh, so, okay, awesome. So, that's how you got started with lettering, from actually doing the work for your wedding.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had good handwriting. I've always been like, I doodle during meetings when I take notes. And so I'm like, well, it's just a different, so it was calligraphy first. I'm like, it's just a different pen. It's the same thing. It's not, it's really hard. And then just following a lot of calligraphers online, I eventually found lettering and I was like, oh, this is way easier than trying to use a pointed pen and ink and doing everything methodically. So it just kind of,
it's cool. That's cool. That's interesting. So you actually did everything for your wedding, like the invitations and all that stuff.
Yeah, I did our save the dates, our invitations, the table numbers, the I have a giant giant wooden sign that has our names and our date and the and it's chalkboard, so I did chalkboard lettering. And I like now that I have all the stuff that I did for the wedding, because it's my art stuff and also our wedding, I don't know what to do with it. Like I can't get rid of it. I can't throw it out. So I have this giant chalkboard sign sitting in our garage now. I'm like, I don't I guess my future kids are gonna inherit this. I don't know what to do with it. So yeah, I did everything. It was a huge project. So I'm glad I did it, but I overestimated or under I underestimated how much work it was gonna be.
Yes, I because I was about to say, like, you're super brave, because like I was thinking of doing the same thing for my wedding, and I was just like, this is like way too much work.
Oh yeah, I didn't. I just jumped in, and I by the time I was knee
Was
deep,
too
I'm like,
late.
oh man, yeah, I can't. Well, so what happened was I had actually reached out to a rifle paper company, and Anna Bond's company, and I wanted them to do because back in the day they started doing those painted invitations,
Okay.
illustrations of the bride and groom, and I thought that was cute, and I reached out to them, but at the time. They quoted me a proper price for it. It was like over $1,000. But at the time, I was like, "Wow, oh, it's too much money. I can do it." And so that started the I can do this myself. So now, in hindsight, I should have just handed them the money for because the work would have been great. But
But then
I figured,
you wouldn't be doing lettering probably. So,
yeah.
you know, it all works out. It all works out. So, I understand that you is the book out already?
The book is not out.
Right, because I know I saw a
It's
pre-order, but I thought you said it
it's in
was.
pre-order, but some people have it already.
Okay.
But yeah, it officially goes on sale on December 18th, and then people should receive it on December 21st, so right
So,
before.
talk a little bit about the book and how, why you wanted to do a book and all that stuff.
Here's the thing. I never wanted to do a book. But I got an email saying, "Hey, we love your work." It was from Callisto Media, who's the publisher. We're interested in creating this hand lettering book. It'd be the first for our publishing house. Would you be interested in the job? And it was at a time. Also, everything happens right when all the other things are happening. It was at a time where I was pretty busy already, but I thought, oh man, I don't really want to pass up a book, but do I really want to write a book? And so one of the things that I was sold on was that they did a lot of research prior to reaching out to me. They looked at the market, they had done the outline for the book. So the way the book is structured is pretty much what they had already set in stone. And they broke out each section. And so I looked at it and I thought, oh, all I have to do is fill out the sections. That's not too bad. I already kind of know what I'm doing. No, see, this is the
Same thing all over again.
same. And so I said yes. And what's funny is they had wanted a writing sample, and I had gone out of I was going out of town. And I had forgotten to do it while I was out of town, and I submitted it the day that it was due. And I thought, okay, well. You know, I'm probably not going to get it. I didn't hear from them for a week, and then they wrote back and they said, "We love your writing sample. We'd love to have you." And I was like, "Oh, okay. I guess I'll write a book." So yeah, so I started. I'm not a writer. I've tried to do blogs and blog posts. I can write, but I can't do things consistently. It's hard. So I figured there's no, again, I'm knee deep in. There's no,
They can't go back now.
it's gotta go. So yeah, so that's kind of how it was. They reached out to me and I said, okay. And, you know, I learned a few good lessons along the way, but yeah, now I look at it. It was weeks of just, I don't really want to do this. Why did I say yes to this? I could be doing 10,000 other things. I could be going out with my friends. I don't know what I'm doing. A lot of like, I don't know why I'm do what I'm doing. I don't know why I think I'm the right person to teach other people to do these things, even though I have a lot of experience. I know what I'm talking about. It's just like the imposter syndrome.
Right.
So it was a lot of like, what did I get myself into? But now that it's done, I'm really happy. And my husband's a writer, and he's like, I was supposed to be the only writer in this family. So, that's pretty funny.
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. And the book is called
The Art of Hand Lettering for Beginners. Okay. It's actually a longer title than that. It is The Art of Hand Lettering for Beginners, Beautiful Projects and Essential Techniques. Nice. There you go. That's the full title. I've tried to do a hashtag too, but the hashtag is the whole entire title. All the other hashtags are taken.
This is too funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So now you've done this book. You've done, you know, various types of lettering projects, and you also, I didn't know that you also work full time. Like, you're like really juggling a lot of hats. Like, what is that like? And you're a wife.
Oh yeah. And I'm a wife, and I have a rambunctious cat that's like a toddler. And also so one of the other things I do for fun is I play recreational and competitive adult dodgeball.
So
I do that for fun, but also I'm the league director for World Dodgeball Society, which is the league that started dodgeball here in LA. So we have like 6 or 7 leagues that I manage. I'm the league director, so I kind of oversee and make sure things are okay. So I don't know what I'm doing. I would really like to have a day where I don't do anything, but I work from 9 to 6 during the week, and then I do freelance. When projects come through, the nice thing is that I can say no because I don't really depend on the freelance money.
Right.
So that's been really helpful. And then in my spare time, when I have it, I go play dodgeball during the week and hang out with my friends. That's how I get to see my friends. So it's kind of nice. And actually, as soon as we get off this call, I have to change and then get in dodgeball gear because we have a tournament this weekend.
That is so epic to me that you're a part of a dodgeball league. I wish I need to find out if there's a dodgeball league in Georgia. Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
I actually know that there is no regular league during the week, but there's a huge tournament that they host in Chicago every year. It's called Ultimate Dodgeball Championship, and it's on trampolines. And I know that there are teams from Atlanta. There's a team called Brick Squad, I think, from Atlanta that competes. And so dodgeball's around there. It's just I don't know where specifically. But
did you say they're on trampolines?
Mm-hmm.
While they're playing?
Yeah, and it's for a lot of money. It's for the men's division. The top prize is $20,000, I think. The women's is $10,000.
Wow.
And my team got second place for the women, so we walked away with some money. But it's fun. I mean, it's a fun way to relieve stress. Like
so much fun.
After work, I go hang out with my friends. I throw stuff at people. It's great. And then we go to the bar and we hang out after. So.
And then you go back to just the calm life of lettering.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at just the contrast. It's crazy. Yeah.
If people wonder why I don't post consistently, this is why I don't post consistently. So.
Oh my goodness, that's super cool. You've opened my eyes to this world of dodgeball now. I'm going to go look all of this up. Oh my goodness.
You should. It's a lot of fun. If you ever come out to LA, well, I'll take you to a few of our gyms and you can try it out.
Yes, I have to come to LA. Too much people are saying I have to come to LA, so I have to make a visit, do my rounds over there at LA. So what would you say, I mean, was the hardest part of just your journey?
I think it's something that I'm still trying to figure out now, which is trusting in myself. Mm. I think a lot of times, especially with social media, you get caught up in seeing what everyone else is doing and that they finish something and they post consistently and how come I can't do that? So trying to focus more on myself and how to get better and hone the craft and not worry about everyone else.
Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah, that and posting consistently because I don't know how to manage my time.
But it's just funny to me that you say that because, like, you're like a powerhouse.
I appreciate that. It doesn't feel that way sometimes, but I try to get as much done when I can, when I have time. I try to stack things. So if I'm watching TV, I try to draw. If I'm mm-hmm. if I have a lunch break, I try and, you know, watch podcasts listen to podcasts or watch tutorials and stuff. But it's also kind of nice to not do anything. So I'll go right. dark on social media for a while and then be like, oh, I should probably
go, probably go get sleep.
The algorithm's going to get mad at me. So.
That is funny. So who would you say kind of gives you the support? Who's your support system, the people that you kind of surround yourself with?
My husband, as cliche as that sounds, he's also a creative, so he understands the struggle of not feeling like you're good enough or not believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. So he often will push me to go do things that I don't want to do or tell me to not play dodgeball and take the freelance gig. So he's my supporter and my, you know, shover into things. And then his dad, Penn Densham, is also a really, really good support system. He was a writer, director, producer in Hollywood, and he did a bunch of like big films. So he also understands things, and he's more emotional about it. He wrote books about creativity and the struggle of the artist. And so when I tell him I've been goofing off and procrastinating, he goes, well, that's part of the process. Mm. Instead of feeling guilty, I learned to accept that that's just how I am. Right before I have to do something, I will clean my house. I will fix things that I've never touched in like the last years, but I will sweep, I will vacuum, I'll just clean everything. But I tend to do that right before I have to get into something creative. And I realize like, that's just my process. It's a really weird thing, but I think I just need to get like little things checked off to get in the headspace to start doing things that like with creative stuff, you're going to stumble and nothing's going to work. And so you don't get those little wins, those little check boxes. And I think for me, I just need to do those little things to start going. It's very strange. So my husband and his dad and my friends, even though a lot of them that I hang out with here in LA aren't artists, they are huge supporters and cheerleaders. And I'll tell them I don't really like sharing. It's a lot of why you don't see photos or videos of me on my feed is I'm weirdly shy when it comes to sharing my artwork, and they will pick me up and lift me up and run me down the hall and force me to go do things, and they will also share my work without me asking or me, you know, me.
That's cool.
So it's really sweet, and it's really nice, and it's very embarrassing, which is why I don't really like doing it, but it makes me feel good, so there's that.
That's
I'm
nice.
Terrible at self-promotion.
That's nice. Well, I mean, you're doing well. I mean, I think sometimes we just kind of, we are, as they would say, we are our worst critic. We're like super critical, and especially creatives, like you're just always super critical on yourself.
Yeah,
you get really in your head
mm-hmm.
at times, so it's interesting. But I mean, I just think, you know, it's just part of the whole, as your father-in-law says, it's a part of the process, I guess. You know, it's a part of the process.
I mean, hindsight is everything. It's like looking at old photos of yourself when you knew, like, you didn't feel good about yourself, and you go, I was fine. There's nothing wrong with me. What was I so upset about? And I'm looking at old artwork that I thought was garbage that I look back at, and I'm like, oh, not so bad.
That's funny. So what is the first hour of Joanna's day like?
Oh, it has nothing to do with art. It is. I get up, I feed my cat, I get ready for work. Normally, well, the last couple of years, my drive to work was 10 minutes. And so I would get into work and then settle down and start my day at the office. But since we moved, my drive is now 40 minutes. So a good chunk of that 60 minutes is me driving to the office. But now it's kind of nice because I'll listen to podcasts on my drive, things that I don't have time to listen to when
right.
I'm at work, or I get distracted by the things that I have to do at the office. So it's just me in my car in LA traffic. My old routine when I lived closer to work was especially when I was writing the book, I would get up at 6-7 o'clock in the morning and try and do as much writing and as much drawing as I could before I went into the office or go work out, and then try and do some art stuff. But now with my commute being so long, I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. That's just not gonna happen. So. Yeah. No, I'm gonna enjoy my day, ease into it, and then do work in the evening.
So. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. So what is that thing that Joanna can't live without that's not her phone?
I would actually have, I saw the not your phone thing on your questions. I'm like, man, so I think the next thing would be any of my other Mac devices, Apple devices. So whether it's my computer, that'd be great. I'd love to live with that. If it's my iPad, my Apple Pencil, I'd take that. It's gotta be one of the two. The iPad has completely changed how I do work. It's so easy to create stuff now, but there's also something to be said for working on a desktop and doing things the way I used to do it. And then if I really, really can't live without it, and it has to be something that's not technology related, it's like a pencil and paper.
That's nice. Just, I thought you were going to say a dodgeball.
No, I I will eventually live without that, and I've made peace with that, so that's okay.
So let's jump into some book recommendations.
Okay. So I look through, I have a whole library, but since I packed up, I have no idea where my books are. But two of the ones that I definitely want to recommend are Jessica Hish's In Progress, which she's a talented artist, and there's just drool worthy, the whole thing. It's fun to see her process, which is not unlike a lot of other artists, but she includes all of her sketches, she breaks things down, she includes her client work, so it's really interesting. Martina Flores' book, Lettering, sorry, I have to click to make sure I have it, The Golden Secrets of Lettering, is amazing because it's just so in-depth and detailed. It talks about the nuances of the terminology and the characters, so that's a book I highly recommend. And then the Graphic Arts Guild book, I always get the newest edition. Whether or not the pricing makes sense for the projects that I come across, it's still nice to have a reference point.
Right.
So, sending out quotes because I don't have an agent. I'm basically pricing things out, and I sometimes have a good idea, and sometimes I'm just like, I don't know. Right. So it's nice that it provides kind of a baseline and pie in the sky number for me to kind of give back to a client. And then I hate self-promotion, but I'm going to say my book. I think it's I've gotten feedback from other letters, and I'm trying to. It's hard for me because I have so much experience to look at a book for beginners that I'm just like, for me, this is not as useful right now, but if I had first started out,
gotcha.
Something like this would have been so helpful just because in 2014, 13, everyone was trying to figure out how to do stuff. So they would ask other letterers what pen are you using and how are you doing that? Watch videos. Now there's resources everywhere. So the way I wrote this book, I wish someone had done an in-depth from point A to point Z and just gone through the steps of how to do things. And there are a bunch of other books that I recommend, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. And there's one of the boxes behind me. But those are really good lettering books for anyone starting out.
That's cool. So what's next for Joanna?
Immediately next is continuing to market my book until it goes out to everyone on December 18th. And then I have a workshop at M. Lovell in Santa Ana.
Okay.
It'll be my first workshop. It's intro to hand lettering, so that's exciting. I'm much better a people person. I don't like doing social media stuff with myself in videos, but I really enjoy talking to people and teaching people the things that I know. So it'll be really fun, and whoever has a book can come by and I'll sign it, which is such a weird thing to say. But it's a thing I have to say now. So So that'll be really fun. So yeah, just I think part of my next journey is putting myself out there more, like in terms of workshops. And I've decided the last couple of months that instead of hoping that a client comes to me to produce something that I think is cool, I just need to produce them myself. So I've been making enamel pins.
Okay.
I'm going to be doing some artwork that I'm just going to put up in the shop. And if people want to buy it, they can buy it. If they don't, then, you know, I'll do giveaways and stuff. But I want to go back to creating stuff for myself that I really enjoy and then sharing that with people, not to make money, but just to kind of do something good for myself instead of hoping a client comes along and has a project that makes me happy.
And usually that's how the really awesome stuff come along. So I would say, yes, definitely go for it. Go for it. So what advice would you have for creatives out there?
It's going to be hard, but listen to yourself. I think a lot of us get distracted by so much around us, whether it's other designers, other letters. I think exploring is really important. The people that you really latch onto, try and understand why you like the things you like. What is it about the work that you enjoy? And what can you do to make, to kind of translate that into your own work? And I think the last thing I would recommend is just be mindful about everything. Be mindful about the time you set aside to practice. When I first started out, I would be upset that I couldn't create letters the way other people did, but it's because I was rushing through everything. I wasn't understanding the reason why things were done the way they're done. And I think that's a lot of what I say in my book is just be mindful and be patient. And it's really hard because you just want to make something awesome, but there are steps. And if you cut through the steps, then it's just not going to be as great or as thoughtful as you probably want it to be. So just kind of slowing down and being more appreciative of the time that you spend creating.
Oh, that's true. You know, that's true. I agree with you, especially with something like lettering. Like, you know, when I was first starting out, I was wondering why my letters didn't line up as everyone else's and stuff like that. And not knowing that, okay, just actually do the steps with the grid and it will change everything. And, you know, it's just stuff like that, you know. It's, so I totally agree with you when you say, you know, it's good to just kind of follow through the entire process to kind of get.
Yeah, and then you can run with it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, Joanna, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You are just awesome. Like,
thank
awesome.
You so much. This has been really fun.
Well, I'm going to let you go for now, but I really appreciate you coming on, and I'll definitely be in touch.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. I really appreciate you taking the time out. I hope, you know, you got something from it, that it brought you value, and, you know, you were able to pull something, some key tips, some key practices that can help you to take your career to the next level and just to elevate your mindset in general. If you want to learn about everything that I'm doing, you can go to dpcreates.com. That's D as in dog, P as in Peter, creates.com. Or go to the podcast website. That's passionbehindtheart.com. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. Be blessed.